Hi, this is a cheap headphone microphone. It's not my $250 microphone, which, by the standards of microphones, is still considered cheap. It's on another machine, and I don't feel like dealing with that machine tonight. In my previous post, I was just about to disclose something an old friend, Heather, well, as she is known now, Auburn, said to me a couple of weeks ago. It pertained to some previous behaviors of mine, and given the time since those behaviors, I really shouldn't be reserved about bringing it up. But the more I thought about it, the more uncomfortable I became. But here is what I'll say, that during the 28 or so years that my obstructive sleep apnea consumed me, living became an exercise in subsistence, of survival. I lived nearly 3 decades getting 2.5 hours of recuperative sleep a night, and very, very likely far less on some of those days, or nights, as the case may be. I remember one time when I had moved to Portland, I was working a night shift, and it was probably the worst, the absolute worst thing I could have done to myself at the time, because even to this day, I'm still unable to get recuperative sleep when the sun is out. It doesn't matter how many blackout curtains I have, if the slightest amount of sunshine gets in, I cannot go into REM. But back then, I remember going to work and getting a pass down from the previous shift operator at the job, and I knew every word that was coming from his mouth, but I was also incapable to understand anything he said. And I know that sounds kind of odd, but that's really how bad off I was, that, you know, somebody could tell me something fundamentally simple, but I just was incapable of understanding it. But the job itself, my customer service skills were always good. I received many accommodations, or whatever you call it. Commendations for my customer service skills, but I was not a good match for that job, and the lack of recuperative sleep was why I eventually was fired. But the problem, the underlying problem, began many years before that. If I had to guess when, I'd say it began to manifest probably my junior year of college, maybe even my sophomore year. Fast forward from those years, and I'm working at Motorola in a wafer fab, which I did for about 5 years, and that was particularly grueling. I was tasked with doing visual inspections of wafers, which meant prolonged periods of sittings and staring at a microscope, and every day, nearly every day, was a brutal, brutal struggle just to maintain consciousness. Especially after I'd had lunch. I'd get back to my station, I'd sit down, and immediately start dozing off. I'd briefly lose consciousness, and my head would go forward, and I would bang my eyes on the microscope optics. And people laughed at me. My supervisors laughed at me. My supervisors hated me. Which, on that note, you know, at least there was symmetry. In stop-and-go traffic, especially the likes of which I used to have to deal with on the lower deck of I-35 in Austin, I would constantly be nodding off, just, you know, my head go forward, and I'd snap up, my head go forward, eyes would close, snap up. How I managed to never rear-end anyone or cause an accident is a mystery for the ages. What I'm getting to in my very usual roundabout way is that every day, every goddamn day, was an existential struggle to stay awake. But it had another effect. The only things that were accessible to me were eat, sleep, work, and fuck. It left me incapable of accessing anything beyond those, and the only way I got through work was just sheer, mindless, and brutal determination. But it also left me, and to my eternal shame, unable to recognize, let alone take accountability for my own personal shit. And eventually, that bill came due in many forms. Jobs lost, job opportunities, and worst of all, it alienated the love of my life for me, and she would eventually leave me. And while I can't take full responsibility for that, I have to take responsibility for the part that was definitely mine. And I suppose, in a way, I'm still paying for all of this to this day. I never became what I could have been. But more than that is the ever-lingering question that, as I'm staring down the barrel of 60 years old, I've never been married. I haven't even had a date since 2017. And this growing disconnect that I live with, which I discussed in a previous entry, I have to wonder, you know, is there something fundamentally wrong with me? I suppose that's a discussion best suited for a professional counselor. But I will say that I feel like I'm in a good place, emotionally speaking, but dating in North Whatcom County is kind of difficult, made more so with the, you know, fucking President Yam Tits pissing off all of Canada, except, you know, maybe Alberta. I don't think the women of British Columbia have any fucking interest in looking south of the border and considering any of us down here now. They just, even if you seem like a decent person, why would anyone take that risk? Anyway, I can't remember how much I've written about the 28 or so years that my obstructive sleep apnea took from me. I know I've written about it, but I can't recall if I've written about it in this way. That is to say, it's not just the things that I missed and the things that I couldn't see. It's the lack of emotional filters that left me, again, to my eternal shame, impulsive and obsessed with the most banal of things. Well, I'm in a much better place these days. Everybody knows that. And, you know, I try not to live my life with any kind of shame. Nothing good comes out of that. But I do look back at some of the things that I said and did during that time of my life, and, oh boy, not proud. Anyway. Everybody, last week for me was pretty rough, work stuff, and this coming week's going to be probably as bad, if not worse. I'll get through it. I always do. Take care. Good night.